My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer. At Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Thank you so much for hanging out with me for another weekly edition of a show that covers soccer all over Atlanta at every single level we possibly can. We also talk about soccer all over the United States, all over the world. You're going to get all of that in this edition of AST. You're going to hear from Ed Joyce and Brett Cerency, the head coaches at Georgia State University, as college soccer is now underway. In the preseason, the Panthers, men and women, will be in action in preseason this week. You'll hear from them. You'll hear from Alan Carlton of Atlanta United, too. And thank you so much to anyone who joined us on Saturday night for our first ever MLS Next Pro broadcast on 92.9. The game was a fun game. 3 goals in the first half for Atlanta, 2 in the second half for New England. It finished 3-2. Absolute chaos, but a fun one to call from Kennesaw. So you're going to hear from Alan Carlton, who was the star of the show on Saturday night. And you're going to hear from quite a few figures from the Atlanta United first team. They were knocked out of the League's Cup after a scoreless draw on Sunday against Santos Laguna. It came down to the penalty shootout to advance. And for the second straight year, Atlanta United loses in a penalty shootout in the second game of the group stage to miss out on the knockout round of 32. The round of 32 was completed tonight. Get you caught up on that here in just a bit. But let's talk Atlanta and Santos Laguna. Wasn't a pretty game. It was a game that felt like a knockout game. It felt like two teams that were at various points in the match and overall, I think, for the majority of the match, I think both teams were more worried about not losing it than going out and winning it. You get that in a knockout game sometimes. You get that caginess. And, you know, in this case, I think you got the pressure and maybe a little bit of the fear that crept in for both teams. Santos Laguna has not been very good this season. They have struggled to score goals. They didn't score in this match. Their defense has been pretty decent, and it was pretty decent in this match. Atlanta United, honestly, it was the reverse of what we've seen from this team too often at times this season. The offense was the one that was misfiring, and the defense did its job. It kept the clean sheet. I think, in general, Atlanta was the better team, not by a wide margin, but by a slim margin. I think the chances that Atlanta created, although neither team really created a ton in this, I think they were looking to create better ones. I think they did create some better ones. I think Santos was resigned a little bit more to shots from distance and weren't quite as dangerous. Josh Cohen made one big save. I thought Acevedo, the goalkeeper for Santos, made probably the best save, a reaction save from a Saba Lobjanidze header early in the second half. Atlanta was its best in the early stages of the second half. I thought the change with Lobjanidze coming inside when they made that, the team looked a little more dangerous, and they just were not able to capitalize on it. Dax McCarty spoke to the media in the mixed zone after the match, and you heard some of his conversation on the full-time report. And if you want to go back and listen to that, make sure you're subscribed to Off the Woodwork, wherever you get your podcasts. Off the Woodwork from 92.9 The Game is where we have all of our soccer audio housed. You can listen to on-demand editions of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, special editions of other shows, the MLS Six-Pack, which is a new addition to Off the Woodwork from the SDH Network. Myself, Jessica Charman, we go through the latest in Major League Soccer. You'll get another edition of that later this week. But Dax McCarty, we caught him after the match. And here's a different clip that we did not get to on the full-time report. Dax just talking about the match on Sunday and about the team's overall performances in the League's Cup.
I'm not going to sit here and say that we were brilliant in the first half and great in the second half. We weren't. And the longer it goes 0-0, the more comfortable the away team feels that they can get a result. I mean, that's how the game works most of the time, especially in these close games. So, yeah, like I've said, I mean, it's a little bit too passive and a little bit too pedestrian when we're at home and when we need a goal. And we did. We needed a goal to breathe some life into the stadium, to breathe some life into our fans who have, quite frankly, come out and supported us when we probably haven't deserved it. So it hasn't been good enough all year. And this tournament is just another encapsulation of that.
It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. That was Dax McCarty speaking after Sunday's scoreless draw and penalty shootout loss to Santos Laguna that eliminated Atlanta United from the League's Cup round of 32. That field was completed just a little bit ago with the last match of the group stage wrapping up between Nashville and New England. We'll get to the outcomes around the rest of the tournament here in just a bit. Daniel Rios also spoke to the media. He caught up with our friend Madison Cruz, and here's what Daniel Rios had to say about what needs to change for this team to make a run in the postseason.
We need to be more solid in the back. More solid in the back. We've been struggling the whole season. We need to like work more, all of the guys, like in the 11 players that are inside the field, not only the defense. And if we don't have mistakes in the defense, we don't concede goals, I'm sure we'll score goals and we'll start to win games. Like we've been scoring pretty much every game this season. So yeah, that's it.
I feel like it's been different cycles this season. We've talked about exactly what Rios is talking about there in that the mistakes. And I think ultimately in League's Cup, the mistakes in game one against DC United is what puts you in this spot. And you don't go through because of individual mistakes. And there have been other games that individual mistakes have either turned it against you, cost you 2 points from a win going to a draw. You can look back at NYC. You can look back at Philadelphia, both at home. But then there was a run of games in the middle as well where the offense wasn't firing and you weren't getting any chances created and you weren't getting goals. And that was an issue. So I think as the team has been playing lately in general, I would agree with Rios, the individual mistakes and the way that the team defends. And honestly, to take it a step further, maybe the way that the team takes care of the ball, if those things improve, then this team will win games because the offense has been doing its job. You would expect that it will be even better with Alexei Miranchuk joining the group. No updates on his visa status, and we probably won't hear any until he's into the country. Hopefully, he will be available now for Atlanta United's next match, which is scheduled to be on the road at the LA Galaxy if they're not in the League's Cup semifinals. If they are, then that game will get pushed back in the calendar, and Atlanta will have an even longer layoff. Next time out would be in Charlotte on the road. It's going to be a minute, and Maranchuk will help. The sooner he gets in, the more time he gets to, I think, acclimate himself to the players around him, the better off everyone will be. That'll make the attack better. But if the mistakes, and you can put them down to mistakes on the ball, turnovers on the ball, turnovers in bad situations on the ball, things that have cost this team goals, but then also the defensive side of just the defending, just being grittier defensively at times. I think it's been overall better than last season, but it's got to be even better to be a team that strikes any fear into the heart of opponents in the postseason. Here's Rob Valentino speaking after the game, kind of about what's coming next for this group.
Look, there will be players coming. We know that. It's been stated that we know that we've sold players, and there's been important players or players that have produced that have left. But ultimately, like, we're focused on the ones that we have. And then we know Alexi's coming. We'll welcome him and we'll be excited to get him integrated to the team. But at the moment, the players that are with us, we'll try to improve. I told these guys in there, like, I'm really disappointed that we didn't advance in the tournament. I think even in the games, both games we played, even though not having the greatest start in DC, I think we did enough to win games. Ultimately, we didn't lose, and it goes down to penalties, and sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. We prepared. We did everything in our control to prepare, and we didn't advance. That's what I'm disappointed in. But what I am excited for is the next 9 games. Next 9 games, I told them, like, we have one objective, and that's at the moment to make the playoffs. And that's where I'm going, and I hope they're coming with me. So I think that's the message with the players. It's the message I've got to everybody here that, you know, we're disappointed, yes, but no one's going to feel sorry for us, and that's been the message all along, and I'm ready to go at this next 9 games.
That was interim manager Rob Valentino speaking about what's next for Atlanta United. It's going to be a minute before they're back on the field. There should be some reinforcements with the group before then. Hopefully Maranchuk, and there's no issues with the visa. He's in the group, and he's got some training sessions under his belt, and he's got some fitness built up, and he can impact these final 9 regular season matches.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The team has every opportunity to make the postseason, and I think coming into the year, the outlook was not just to make the postseason, but to finish in the top four. That's going to be very difficult now. So you've got to find a way to be dangerous in the postseason when you get there, because not getting there, even where this team is, and I know there's a different feel than the reality of the table, or the feel. Anytime we've mentioned playoffs, it's been as many different jokes as you can get off immediately after that. But this team is right in the mix of getting into the playoffs. The expectation is more than that. I get the reactions, but again, let's get to the reality of where this team is in 2024. Atlanta United has to improve itself to be a dangerous playoff team. They do want to get in however they get in, but they've got to be dangerous when they get in. They were dangerous last year when they got in. This was a team that finished the season well and took Columbus to the limit. Can they mount a challenge like that? Garth Lagerwey has talked about adding another attacking player. It could be a nine. It could be a winger. It could be just a different attacking player. I'm not sure, you know, what is on the board. There really haven't been a lot of rumors. But as I remind everyone, you don't hear a lot of rumors out of the Atlanta side of things, do you? You never really have. Every rumor you've pretty much ever heard about Atlanta United acquisitions has come from the other side of the deal. You know, a leak in another country, a reporter somewhere else in the world. That's where you're going to hear this stuff. So don't start panicking and thinking that they're not trying to add players. Of course they are, but you got to get deals done and you're running out of time. You've got a couple of weeks now before the window closes, and then you've got to get the visa done, and then you've got to get the player into some training sessions. You want to get this done as fast as possible. We will see if Atlanta can do it. And whoever they go get to come in alongside Moranchuk is going to have a giant say in how dangerous this team can be in the postseason. Because as they're currently constructed, they're lacking the top-end talent to be dangerous. They've got to go find that, and they've got to get it integrated into the group. One team that does have a lot of attacking talent up top that is starting to change games is the U.S. Women's National Team. They're going to be playing for a gold medal on Saturday in Paris. We'll get caught up on how they got there next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight as it returns in 5 minutes on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with me for another evening of soccer talk on the radio. I know it always feels like it's pirate radio when we get to talk a little bit of soccer on the station outside of an Atlanta United broadcast. We had an Atlanta United 2 broadcast last weekend, which was a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed that. We're going to have more content as we get into the fall because it's going to be very, very busy in the soccer world. All the local teams, local colleges are going to get going, and you're going to hear a lot about what's happening at Georgia State. You're going to hear a lot about what's happening at Kennesaw State, at Oglethorpe in D3, a men's team that will be competing for a national title. Emory in D3 will also be competing for a national title. Both teams are highly rated nationally. Clayton State in D2. This is a team that made the national tournament last year and will be looking to be even better in 2024. Georgia Gwinnett, which has produced players for the pro level. Georgia Gwinnett at the NAIA level, a very, very dangerous team. And that's not even getting into the rest of the state with Columbus State in D2, North Georgia in D2, Georgia Southern. Their women are very highly rated in the Sun Belt. Going to be a great match between them and Georgia State this year. College soccer getting ready to get started in the fall. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be talking about it on AST, and you're going to get some bonus podcasts and content as well. Make sure you're subscribed to Off the Woodwork wherever you get your podcasts. I did tell you I'd let you know what the matchups were going to look like in the League's Cup round of 32. Atlanta United was eliminated via the penalty shootout. Santos Laguna got in by virtue of that bonus point. Atlanta didn't lose in their two games in the League's Cup. They didn't win either one either, and they didn't get the shootout win in either one, which would have put them through. In the eastern side of the bracket, you've got Tigres and Pachuca. They're going to meet in Austin. That'll be a really interesting game between two heavyweights from Mexico. Miami will host Toronto. Philadelphia will host Montreal. Orlando will host Cruz Azul on Friday night. That's going to be a fascinating game, in my opinion, down in Central Florida. Cincinnati will host Santos Laguna. That's where Atlanta would have went if they had won the shootout. That's going to be Friday night. Columbus hosting Sporting Kansas City. DC United will host Mazatlan. That's what the winner of Atlanta United's group got. A very winnable game against a team from Mexico that didn't come into this in really a high seeding spot or a team that would strike a lot of fear into you. DC took care of business. They get to host Mazatlan, and that will be at Audi Field. I guess they got the field in better shape for that one. New England, by virtue of their win tonight, they will host New York City. That's the eastern side of the League's Cup bracket. Out west, LAFC will host Austin. Vancouver will host Pumas in a match that will take place tomorrow night at 10:30 Eastern. That will be some League's Cup after dark, and I'm looking forward to watching that. San Jose will host Club Necaxa. Seattle will host the LA Galaxy in another very interesting match. That's Thursday night at 10:30. Club America will host Atlas, and that will be in San Diego at Snapdragon Stadium. Don't forget, San Diego joining MLS. They're going to play their matches at Snapdragon Stadium. If you want to get an early peek, that's Friday night at 10. St. Louis will host Portland. Juarez will host Colorado in a sneaky good game on Friday night. And Toluca will face the Houston Dynamo, and that match will be played in Houston. League's Cup knockout round starts on Wednesday night and will continue through Friday for the round of 32. You can watch all of it on Apple TV's MLS Season Pass. Something else you can watch on Saturday morning at 11 is the U.S. Women's National Team in the gold medal match of the Olympics. Sophia Smith scored in the first half of extra time to lift the U.S. women to a 1-0 win over Germany today. Both matches in the knockout round of the Olympic tournament on the women's side for the U.S. have been 1-0 wins in extra time. It was Trinity Rodman beforehand against Japan. It was Sophia Smith in this one against Germany. Naomi Girma was excellent. Alyssa Nair had to make an acrobatic kick save in the final seconds of extra time to deny an equalizer, and that sends the U.S. through where they will face Brazil, which was not expected. Brazil is facing the World Cup champion Spain, and they got the job done with a 4-2 win. It was a little surprising. An own goal started things off, and then Brazil went up 3-0. Spain pulled one back very late, although there's a ton of stoppage time in this one. Looked like maybe Brazil could get rattled, but Brazil went and found the fourth. Spain added one more, and it finishes 4-2. Spain did not look their best in this tournament. They really had to scrape by Colombia in the quarterfinal. That run, I don't know if it's over, but Spain will have to go back to the drawing board just a little bit. Brazil, nobody saw this coming, especially when Marta got red carded in the last game of the group stage. She was suspended for two games. She missed both of the knockout wins for Brazil. She will be back for the final, and this will be her last game with Brazil in a major tournament. There could be a friendly, there could be a send-off game for her when they get back or at some point in the next year or so. But this will be the opportunity for Brazil to send Marta out with the gold medal that she has never won. Brazil's been in an Olympic final against the U.S. twice before, Athens 2004, Beijing 2008. The U.S. won both of those. What is it about this U.S. women's national team that makes them the favorite going into this match? And I do believe that they are. It's what they've done in the 18-yard box on both ends of the field. And we can stretch that to the defensive third and the attacking third if we want to go a little bit further. The attacking side. I feel like we've talked a lot about Mallory Swanson and coming back from injury and how good she has been. Sophia Smith, the goal today, duh. Trinity Rodman, the goal in the quarterfinal, duh. 11 goals for the U.S. That attacking trio or trident or whatever we're going to call them, they have contributed to 10 of those 11 goals. They have been that good. You go back to the last World Cup last year, Swanson was out injured, and she was in great form going into that tournament before she was injured. Rodman and Smith struggled in the tournament. The U.S. struggled as a whole. You really missed Swanson, I think, more than we thought at the time. And we're seeing it now, how much she was missed then. Maybe a different conversation for how things end up going for Vlatko Andonovski if he's got Swanson, who I think a lot of people are reluctant to give her that mantle, but she might be the best player in this U.S. team. I think she's the most important player on the attacking side. And it's kind of evolved. You know, Lindsey Horan was that for a while with this group. And I think Swanson has taken a lot of pressure off of Horan. Horan is playing in a deeper role in this tournament. Needed to. The midfield needs to be solidified a little bit more. They need more from Horan in those spots of the field. And maybe it feels like a little bit of a disappointment. I know there's been a lot of talk about the midfield. I think it's somewhat due to Horan playing a quieter role than she has in the past. And I think a big part of that is Mallory Swanson and what she's brought to the team. Smith and Rodman are really starting to come into their own, especially Rodman. I thought the last World Cup would be her big tournament, her breakout. It's been this Olympics where she's been incredible. So the attack, you don't have any issues. I mean, honestly, if you want to talk about another player that I think has been a little bit of a surprise in terms of being more anonymous than we thought, perhaps, is Rose Lavelle, a player who struggled to, I think, stay fit on a regular basis for club and country. And Lavelle and Horan were two of the headliners coming into this tournament, and they're not as the tournament has progressed. It's been that attacking trio, and it's also been Naomi Girma. Emma Hayes said that she's never had a defender like this. Girma, we saw it in the She Believes Cup here in Atlanta. We've seen it for the U.S. women. We saw it at the last World Cup where she was outstanding in a bad overall team performance, but she was outstanding. She's the best center back in the world. I think it's safe to say that. She's just so calm and smooth from a defensive standpoint and on the ball. She has been incredible. She really shut down pretty much any time Germany got into the box in this match today. She's good in the air. She will, you know, step in front of crosses and just bring them down like it's nothing. She is so composed in this group. So when you have that on both ends of the field, the middle, yeah, it can be better. And again, I think maybe we're holding Horan and Lavelle to a different standard than we should. This is a team that in 3 of 5 games in the Olympics has not conceded a goal. Zambia has one of the best attackers in the world in Barbara Banda. They didn't score in that game. Germany scored 1. Australia scored 1. 2 goals in 5 games. The midfield's part of that, right? It's not like they're not playing in the middle of the park. And that's with Sam Coffey missing the quarterfinal as well, who I think is a very important, underrated part of this group. So the midfield's not getting the love that they deserve. I think they've been good. They've been solid, good, decent, whichever adjective you want to pick. They haven't been outstanding. They haven't been bad. The attack has been outstanding. The back line led by Girma has been outstanding. This is a team that is favored to go win the Olympic gold medal. I didn't expect that. Coming into this Olympic tournament, I had questions. I don't think anybody knew what Emma Hayes' impact would be on this team so quickly without a whole lot of time to really work with them. And I don't think you're seeing her full impact. It's going to take more time for that to happen. But I feel like this is a new generation. It has a new feel with this group, even though there's still players who were there before. Crystal Dunn has been very, very good in this tournament. And I was worried about her being able to play at this level in these kinds of big games. I thought her form over the past year had not been great with the national team. She's found it again. And I think it's a credit to the young vibes that are in this group now. And that carries over a lot. You know, this is a team that I think is very together. I think this is a team with a good team culture. I think this is a team that gets along. They enjoy it. They enjoy what they're doing. They enjoy fighting for one another. They enjoy the soccer that they're playing. Emma Hayes setting the tone is a huge, huge part of that. And I think this team is ahead of schedule. They're not the best team in the world, no question, like they have been in the past. They got to fight for everything, as we've seen in these last two knockout games. But this is a team that is fully capable of taking care of business on Sunday, and they will be favored going into that match. We'll break all of that down next week on AST, how everything turned out. The men's side, it's France and Spain. Going to be a European gold medalist at the Olympics for the first time in 32 years. Morocco and Egypt will face off for the bronze medal. Both of them gave France and Spain everything they could ask for in regulation time and in extra time in the semifinals, but weren't able to get through. It's France, it's Spain on the men's side, it's the U.S., and it's Brazil on the women's side. Two really good gold medal matches and two really good bronze medal matches coming up as well. Going to be a fun conclusion to the Olympic soccer tournament. Coming up next, our conclusion to Atlanta soccer tonight. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. It's the 3-4-3 next in five on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for the 3-4-3 presented by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Y'all know how we end the show by now. Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start on the local side, and let's go back to the Atlanta United 2 match on Saturday night. This is a team that's won back-to-back games. This is a team that's had to sweat in back-to-back games to get those wins in those matches. This is a team that's also jumped out to leads in both of these matches. Two-goal lead in Huntsville that ended up finishing 2-1. A three-goal lead in Kennesaw on Saturday night that ended up finishing 3-2. A lot of teenagers have been very involved in getting these results. But also other players have stepped up. Alan Carlton stepped up in a big, big way on Saturday night. The scoring started with Eric Centeno's cross to Karim Tamimi, the former Georgia Gwinnett Grizzly, a diving header for his seventh goal of the season. Then it became the Alan Carlton show. He had not scored a goal at this level before Saturday night. He scored twice on Saturday night. The first one, a golazo from 25 yards out. The second one, a composed finish off of a cross on a counterattack by Rodrigo Neri. Carlton was able to beat JD Gunn in the New England goal to get his second. Here's Alan Carlton talking about his two goals after the match.
Now, it felt good, obviously, my first two career goals, and they happened back-to-back. It was crazy. My mind was still going kind of crazy from the first one, so I had to, like, calm it down when Rodrigo played me that pass. Everything was just going so fast, but now it felt good. I'm so excited.
Very cool to see that kind of a performance from Alan Carlton. Atlanta United 2 head coach Steve Cook has talked about how much he thinks Carlton can be a player for the future for Atlanta United. A very talented player on the ball. Hopefully he can grow a little bit off the ball. He's got to put a little more size on his frame, I think, to handle the physicality as he continues to rise in level. But on the ball, technical ability, he's as good as anyone you will find. And it's great to see Alan Carlton contributing in the final third. In results for Atlanta United 2, back-to-back wins for the Twos. They're back in Kennesaw on Sunday night. 7:30 kickoff from Fifth Third Stadium. All right, number two on the local side of things, we're going to talk about college soccer, and we're going to talk about the Georgia State Panthers. I had the chance to be at media days for both of the teams, the men's and the women's teams. I get to call the majority of those matches on ESPN Plus, and it's always something that I look forward to every year as this program, these programs continue to get better and better and better. Let's start on the women's side. Their first preseason game is tomorrow night. They'll be heading over to Carrollton to face new promoted D1 side joining the A-Sun, West Georgia. This is a Georgia State team that is in a very difficult conference. The Sun Belt on the women's side doesn't get as much respect as the men's side, but a very difficult conference, and head coach Ed Joyce created a very difficult non-conference schedule. Three SEC schools on it. Here's Coach Joyce talking about the schedule and why he made it so difficult.
Now we just felt like, you know, the conference that we're in is definitely burgeoning conference, and we're in the right direction to whereas we're going towards a two-bid league. Our two bids last year, arguably could have had three, you know, to whereas we feel as if we put ourselves on that schedule, and we certainly have nothing to lose. You know, we feel like we can compete at that level. We play the brand of football that, you know, we think it's fun to watch, it's fun to play in, but also it can cause problems. So I mean, we feel as if we're in a good place. Balance is important in regards to the schedule. Regional balance is really important to me, and we're really blessed that the SEC is right in our footprint. So this year, with, you know, Florida and South Carolina coming to us, is a huge opportunity for us to bring a bit of notoriety to where we play, which is a fantastically unique facility right in the middle of the city. Every Atlanta United fan has seen it from the from the MARTA train. And then obviously, you know, going to Ole Miss as part of a return in a game that we fared pretty well in last year with some big injuries. So, you know, for us, the conference is hard. You know, we're going to go to JMU away, Old Dominion coming to us, South Alabama coming to us, and we have Orange East, which is tough side of the bracket, and then we have pretty much the West as well. The ones that are coming to us and the ones we're going to are going to be really challenging also, so we have to prepare for that. Yeah, and I think in the past the balance wasn't quite there, so we wanted to try and make sure we got balance this year to challenge our players when they get to these big games. It's just another game.
Very cool to see some of the teams that are coming into Atlanta, two SEC schools coming to the Georgia State facility over off of MLK, a very intimate, very loud, very intimidating place to play for the Georgia State men and the Georgia State women. Let's move over to the men's side for number three on the local stories. Head coach Brett Cerency, he has had a lot of success at Georgia State. He is in one of the most difficult men's soccer conferences in the country. Three different schools in the Sun Belt were ranked number one last season. Remember, this is a conference on the men's side that has South Carolina in it, has Kentucky in it, has Central Florida in it, has West Virginia in it. This is a very difficult conference. So the conference schedule is brutal in the Sun Belt, along with Georgia State finding ways to be competitive. They were really close to beating top teams in the country last year, like Central Florida and West Virginia here in Atlanta. I asked Brett Cerency kind of what it's going to take, what was missing, and what he's trying to find in this team in 2024 to make the difference in those big games. Here's Coach Cerency.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, I think the margins are fine. You know, there are some really good teams, and you know, the difference between a win and a loss can be minute. You know, so, you know, again, I think we have good players here. I think for us, the guys that returned that were part of it last year, I hope that they understand that the differences are small. You know, everybody's saying the same thing right now. You know, as you go first day of preseason, the excitement and the optimism is really high. You know, so I think for the guys that have been a part of it last year, they understand that, you know, it's going to just take a little bit extra for some of those draws or losses to turn into wins. And, you know, in the same breath, the wins that can turn into draws or losses as well, too. So, you know, I think understanding that, you know, every minute of the 90 is important, and, you know, being able to put our best foot forward and, again, lean on our foundation and who we are as a program and, again, see where that takes us.
Can't wait for the Georgia State soccer seasons to start, and I cannot recommend it enough. If you guys are able to check out these teams in preseason, and they're both going to have games at the Georgia State soccer facility in downtown, they're going to be in Carrollton with the women tomorrow night, Wednesday night, where they will face West Georgia. And the men are going to be on Saturday night, first preseason match, against a really difficult opponent, D2 powerhouse Clayton State. They won the Peach Belt Conference last season, and this is a top program led by Pete Peterson. Should be a really good match on Saturday night down in Morrow at Clayton State University. Recommended viewing for you there if you can make it. But if you can't, check the Georgia State schedules for their home matches. The men and the women, both very entertaining teams to watch. A very cool atmosphere in downtown at the facility off of MLK. And a lot of local talent on both of these teams. Go check out your local college teams if you can. If you're in Atlanta, check out Georgia State. But you've also got plenty of other schools to watch as well. College soccer has never been healthier in the state of Georgia, and Georgia State's a big part of that. Let's get into the headlines around the world. Number one, Pellegrino Matarazzo. He confirmed that he will stay at Bundesliga side Hoffenheim. Lots of rumors about him being linked to the U.S. men's national team job. Matarazzo says he's staying. He was linked in the past to this job as well in 2022, and he talked about it, and he said, you know, they spoke, and it wasn't the right time for either side to make that move then, and it sounds like it's not the right time to make that move now. So the job stays open. Matt Crocker, the U.S. Soccer Sporting Director, leading the search. They don't play again until September 7th. The U.S. will host Canada in Kansas City for a friendly. Hopefully no drones flying overhead before practices and such. It's a friendly. Maybe they don't break the drones out for practices and friendlies if you're the Canadian national team program. The Patrick Vieira rumors have kind of cooled off, and there haven't been any other names mentioned with the U.S. men's national team job lately. Sure, there's lots of conversations. Just very curious to see when we see a hire happen and if we hear other names that maybe we didn't expect linked to this job. Number two on the headlines worldwide, Manchester City and Atletico Madrid, they've agreed to a deal for Julian Alvarez, the Argentine striker. Going to go to Atleti for somewhere around $100 million. $75 million due up front, $20 million or so in performance-based add-ons. There's potential for more than that. It is a gigantic deal, and it's City's record sale. Huge profit. They paid £14 million for Alvarez in January of 2022. Now, there has been some reporting that Alvarez has not yet agreed to the personal contract with Atletico Madrid, but it's understood that that's going to happen. So City didn't really want him to leave because he's been that valuable backup behind Erling Haaland, and he's played a ton of positions. He wants more. So it kind of came to a head, and you heard some of the comments from Pep Guardiola and from Alvarez after the Copa America, and now it looks like Julian Alvarez will be in La Liga. Will Manchester City go out into the market and get a second forward? Because Alvarez played 54 games in all competitions last year. Haaland missed 2 months of the season due to injury, so I think they probably need one more player. We'll see what City does there. Atleti. Very, very aggressive right now. They're also adding Conor Gallagher of Chelsea into the midfield. La Liga is getting very, very aggressive right now. It's going to be fun to watch this season. Barcelona, they have added Dani Olmo from RB Leipzig. They're not going to get Nico Williams, it sounds like. He returned to training with Athletic Club in Bilbao, and he pledged his allegiance to that club. So Dani Olmo coming into Barca. Kylian Mbappe, obviously already going to Real Madrid. The top three in La Liga are very bold in the transfer window. Number three on the headlines, another team that's trying to be very bold in the transfer window is LAFC. They are in active talks to sign Antoine Griezmann of Atleti, according to Give Me Sport. L'Equipe has also reported on this. It could happen now. It could happen in January. It could happen next summer. Pretty much the conversation is not a if, it's a when. Transfer window in MLS closes soon, so you got to get a deal done quickly. Atleti, they just added Alvarez, they're adding Gallagher. Are they going to want to keep Griezmann, or are they going to be willing to let him go now? Does he want to go now? Sounds like he's very happy at Atleti. The release clause this summer is around $11 million. LAFC can pay that if Griezmann is willing to go, if he wants to go, you don't want to pay that, and then the player doesn't want to make the move. So we'll see what happens here. But if LAFC adds Griezmann to Giroud, to Hugo Lloris, that's going to be quite the story. Denis Bouanga as well. LAFC trying to make a big move to bring in Antoine Griezmann. River Plate, they made a big move going back to the past. They are going after the Copa Libertadores again, and they have added Marcelo Gallardo back in charge. 14 titles in his first spell at River. He won the 2015, the 2018 Copa Libertadores. 8.5 years to Libertadores. He went to Saudi Arabia, had a season with Al Ittihad, and it didn't go all that great. So he's back to River, which is a little bit of a surprise. I thought he would end up at a, if not a top, top European club, a very, very good one. I think Marcelo Gallardo is a very, very good manager. Going back to River, I know some will paint it as a failure. I think now the expectations are very, very high at River, higher than they were when he left. And can he meet those? We will see. Our old friend Ezequiel Barco, no longer there. He is playing in Russia now. River's going to have to go add some pieces if they want to compete in the Libertadores. The Brazilian clubs have dominated the competition as of late. River, Boca, other Argentine clubs are going to have to invest to be at that same level. They have invested on the managerial side, adding one of the top managers in South America, Marcelo Gallardo, back at River Plate. All right, three things that make me smile about the game. Gallardo back at River does make me smile, but number one on this list, Matt Edwards, his continued development. He had some good minutes on Sunday against Santos Laguna when he came on for Pedro Amador. He's playing on the left side. He's a right-footed player. He can play on the left. He's played a good bit on the left. At the University of North Carolina, Edwards really made a name for himself by his versatility and playing as a center back, playing as a fullback, playing as a wing back when they went to that, playing as a third center back when they had three center backs. That's going to get him on the field more. And I think it's going to give him the opportunity to have a nice long career in Major League Soccer. He has all of that ability. He can be a little bit smoother on the ball, a little bit tighter defensively, as look, all young players have things that they need to tighten up. That's where Matt Edwards is. But it was really good to see him get those minutes against Santos Laguna and not be at all shy on the field. He was very bold. Number two, another kind of deep dive into the Atlanta United 2 match on Saturday night, Stephen Hurlock, an attacking player from the Atlanta United Academy. He's got one more year with the Academy before he is committed to the University of Virginia. He ended up having to do a lot of defending late in that game. And attacking players, especially young ones, don't always take the defensive responsibilities as much as they need to. Hurlock did, and he did a very good job to help Atlanta get that win out. He is a late bloomer when it comes to the Atlanta United Academy. Joined later. He was with SSA. He'd been with AFC Lightning before that on the youth side. He's got all the potential to be a professional player. Maybe going to college is going to be the route for him and then coming back. But Stephen Hurlock over this next year is going to be a fascinating watch for Atlanta United too. And number three on things that make me smile about the game as we wrap up AST, talked about her earlier, Naomi Girma. Just Girma getting the attention she deserves. I always shout out holding midfielders. I played that position. I also just love the work that they do and how vital they are to a team. And they never get the attention they deserve. Center backs typically don't either, especially ones who are as smooth and classy as Naomi Girma. She is essential on Saturday if the U.S. are going to win the gold medal against Brazil. Girma's going to have to keep Brazil quiet. She's done it every game in this tournament. She will be essential on Saturday. 11 a.m., U.S. Women's National Team against Brazil gold medal match at the Olympics. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. We'll talk about that match. We'll talk about all kinds of other things that are going to happen between now and then. Next Tuesday, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, back at 10 p.m. Adios, everybody.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.